We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
So we support Patagonia, and we're also we're the platform for Nordstrom, and we're the platform for REI. All three of them sell Patagonia. Patagonia wants you to start with the brand, as every brand does, and the strongest brands have enough loyalty that people do. And those are the brands that are going to thrive right in the next 5 to 10 years.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. For today's episode, I'm handing over the microphone to my good friend and colleague, Sarah Rand. Sarah, take it away.
Thanks, Bill. As shopping for secondhand goods becomes increasingly popular, the resale market continues to grow quickly, and more retailers are leaning into the trend. Our guest today is Andy Rubin, founder and CEO of Trove, which enables retailers such as REI, Lululemon, Patagonia, and Levi's to offer what they call circular shopping. We'll talk to Andy about the resale market and about how organizations like his are making the retail industry more sustainable. But before we do that, I get to welcome today's co-host, Chris Stewart. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks.
It is good to see your face.
Likewise.
And hear your voice.
Sure.
And Andy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Andy, let's start kind of before Trove. How did you get here? Where did this idea come from?
Sure. Most of my background's in the heart of retail. I spent most of my career at Walmart. So I ran global strategy for Walmart. Right place, right time. Had the privilege of starting sustainability at Walmart back in the early 2000s. Fantastic experience. Got to shepherd and lead private brands. 240 categories across the store, food and consumables. And then my final role with Walmart was moving out to the West Coast at the beginning of Walmart Labs and kind of the beginning of omni-channel grocery delivery. And from all of that experience, one persistent idea was that, you know, a lot of the items, you know, just because customers get value by finding the right item, it doesn't necessarily have to be new from a supply chain. And increasingly, as our closets are filled with high quality items, there's a lot of value and opportunity in having those items that sit idle in our lives be surfaced back up. And so that idea has been there for, I would say, at least, you know, probably a decade before I left to start Trove.
So for those of us that are newer to the concept, what exactly is resale?
Sure. And it's, you know, resale or re-commerce, secondhand, used. You know, the terms, like anything that's evolving, will become more clear in hindsight. But for now, the way we think about it is essentially making all of those items, those hundreds of billions of items that are in our closets, in our garages, surfacing those back up as part of how we shop, right? And so that's about taking these items back, identifying them, making them findable, and then in the right way, describing them and allowing the next owner to buy or get that item. That could happen on Facebook Marketplace. It could happen on ThredUp, or it could happen on Patagonia.com. All of those are times where we're bringing an item that had already been bought back into the retail context and giving it its next life.
It sounds like a lot of these brands that you had started with, you know, Patagonia, REI. And my understanding is that for products like that, there's a pretty strong resale market where this is good gear, and there have always been resellers of that kind of like outdoor outfitter type gear. So what it sounds like is that Trove is kind of a way to help brands keep a handle on their merchandise and kind of almost protect their brand. Would you say that's accurate?
Absolutely. So you think about it like pre-certified Mercedes, right? Before there was pre-certified Mercedes or pre-certified Lexus, I mean, those cars were sold on used car lots, and that was fine. And people found value in that. And at some point, Mercedes said, wow, there's a lot of business that's going on outside of our brand. We know these cars better than anybody. The customer who buys a new Mercedes every 2 years drives it right back on the lot. we can build a loyalty program by providing more value for people who are bringing their model from 2 years ago and trading up. And we can bring a Honda or Toyota customer into the Mercedes brand. So we will bring new customers into the brand who then will do the service and everything else here. And from a customer standpoint, it provides a reason to come back, right, to come back to the brand. And it provides an ability for customers who aspire to a brand to experience it, right? Not get your Mercedes from a used car lot, but go to Mercedes with the good donuts and the good coffee, right? And the people who know what they're talking about. And the same was true for e-commerce, right? In the 2000s, as diapers.com and a lot of the pure plays got big enough, that brands said, wait, those are our customers. Those are our items. We're losing market share to a new way of shopping. And we're seeing the same thing now where the Patagonias and Levi's and Lululemon's say, why would we allow people to go to a ThredUp or a RealReal or somewhere else when those are our customers? And this is a new way of shopping. And by doing this, we keep our customers closer.
I love the idea that it is expanding a customer base, that this is helping these retailers reach people who maybe, if I'm understanding, wouldn't normally have paid full price for one of these products. But I have to imagine this is also great for those that maybe were paying full price and don't mind buying a resold Patagonia, Lululemon, whatever the product is.
It's mainly the first. And what we see is that of the customers who would buy, let's say, Patagonia calls their program worn wear, but a worn wear item, or Lululemon calls it like new Lululemon item. 65% of those customers are brand new to the brand. So 65% have aspired to the brand for years, but never been able to have access to that branded experience. And who wouldn't want that? And when you experience the quality, I mean, I'm wearing a Tom Ford shirt compared to a shirt from Banana Republic, and Tom Ford's just nicer, right? And so as you get to experience a nicer item, you just don't go back, right? You get to experience that. And a number of those customers who have their very first experience with the brand through this, you know, through a secondhand program, go on to make a full price purchase because they then fall in love with the quality and craftsmanship and the brand itself.
Is this helping their consumer base skew younger?
Significantly. So when we look at the customer base compared to the traditional base, 15 to 20 years younger on average, less household income, far more digital. This is, when you look at the data of the brands we work with, I've never seen in retail, I've never seen a better way to reach younger customers, right? It's got everything that young customers want in the way of shopping with less waste, more sustainable brands they love and aspire to and can afford.
These are already brands that appeal to young folks, right? So that's especially impressive.
Yes.
So what does it look like for a brand? How do I get, you know, oh, that sounds like a great idea. I would love to get going on that. So what does that look like? How does a brand do this?
So, I mean, the first question for a brand is just what you just said, right? Seeing it strategically. Mm-hmm. You got to realize that this is, you know, it's sometimes described as a third channel, but it's a way customers are shopping. And if you're not in this space right now, you will be. Mm-hmm. It's like we're sitting in e-commerce in the mid-2000s, and it was clear years before everybody had a direct consumer e-commerce site or multi-brands. Then the question is how you do it, right? And your options are to buy, build, or partner. And it's a little bit early for the buying. Some brands, not many, have tried building it, and nobody has moved through that and continues to do it. It's expensive. It's $40 to $50 million for the technology, and then it's a whole new space you've got to figure out. And what Trove offers, as one of the players here, Trove offers, we white label the capability. So we're a platform for brands to do e-commerce, much like Commerce Cloud is a platform for e-commerce. So when you're moving forward in e-commerce, you're going to build an incredible digital property and brand and get new customers and do omni-channel. You really have no need to build the guts of Commerce Cloud. Use Commerce Cloud, mm-hmm. right? You don't have the need to build a new payroll system. Use ADP. So it's no different than other platforms brands use. And it's a significant benefit for the technology and the operations necessary for the capabilities that are different and new compared to the capabilities to be successful in traditional or e-commerce retail.
Is it restricted to brands that own their own products? You know, I'm thinking about like a Macy's, right? So Macy's has their own brands, but they also sell other brands. Then I'm thinking about Patagonia, which sells its own brand. So does it work better with one business model or another?
It works with both. So we support Patagonia, and we're also we're the platform for Nordstrom, and we're the platform for REI. All three of them sell Patagonia. Patagonia wants you to start with the brand, as every brand does, and the strongest brands have enough loyalty that people do. And those are the brands that are going to thrive right in the next 5 to 10 years. And then you've got the multi-brand retailers that want you to start with the category, right? So their job is, I want a jacket. I want to look at all the jackets, right? And right now, we all compete, and I think it's pretty obvious, we all compete, especially online, of where you decide to buy the item. You can buy a Patagonia item many places. In 5 years from now, the conversation we're going to be having is, when I'm not using my incredibly well-made Patagonia item, what do I do with it? Right? Do I give it back to or trade it in at a Nordstrom, at a Patagonia, at a RealReal, a Vestiaire? Do I post it on Facebook? And so in the same way we compete for where you purchase something that you are looking for, years from now, we're going to be competing for that supply of what you do when you're not wearing it. And the brands that are moving there now are going to have a significant advantage in seeding that idea, seeding the customer behavior, that if you know, Arc'teryx is another partner of ours. When you buy an Arc'teryx item, bring it back if there's a problem. Bring it back when you're done. We want it back. We've just sold you an incredible investment in a beautiful piece of gear. It'll last. Bring it back. And then Arc'teryx will take that. They'll give you a gift card. You'll upgrade to the next thing you're looking for. And they will then sell that to predominantly a new, younger customer.
That's really fascinating.
So shoppers are very interested in easy experiences. Is this the kind of thing where I have to have my receipt because I have no receipts?
No, it's not. In fact, so not only will every brand that is a relevant brand in 5 years, every relevant brand will be doing this. When brands do it, they win, and they win based on ease. So what we have already seen, so we've recently launched with, or Lululemon's launched, and we support them. In the Lululemon launch, it's as easy as taking any Lululemon piece and walking into a store. So they are allowing you in any Lululemon store in California or Texas, which is where they're piloting, anything that's Lululemon, bring it back and get a gift card. And the ease of doing that compared to going on eBay or Facebook Marketplace, where you've got to figure out what the item is and how you're going to describe it and promote it and photograph it and price it. And will someone want it? Will they not? Is my time worthwhile? Just bring it into a store. There's going to be a moment that before going back to an REI, you'll open your closet and say, gosh, I'm not wearing that jacket anymore. I haven't used that tent in a while. You'll pick them up and you'll go back into the store. And as you walk in, you'll start by getting a gift card that goes to the new, you know, maybe you're going to get into cycling, right? It'll go to whatever you want to do next. And brands have such an incredible ability to make this easy for all of us. And that is probably the biggest advantage in supply and in the whole space.
That's so interesting, because I'm just thinking about you say, okay, just bring my Lululemon into any store. So that's, you're also having to empower the store associates to be able to make that call on the quality of the product, right? That's one thing that these other online outfits do for you, right? Like, you don't want these clothes, you can just send it to us. We will go through, figure out how much they're worth, and then we'll issue you a credit later. It's not walking in, handing it over, getting my gift card.
Yeah, but that's technology. So if you walk into a Lululemon, there is technology in that, in the associate's hand, mm-hmm. as part of the guest experience to identify that item with next to no effort and hand you the gift card. That's technology that we provide all the brands we work with. So that technology is in hundreds of stores in the US today that allows any Levi's store, Lululemon, any Patagonia store, REI stores, for you to walk in with anything. Mm-hmm. And it's Trove's technology that is powering those experiences to identify, price, and hand you the gift card.
So it's not just identifying like, oh, I know this is a pair of Levi's 503, whatever, but also to identify the quality of them?
That's a brand decision. So across the brands that we work with, I'll give you the two extremes. So on one side, for an Eileen Fisher piece, Eileen Fisher's been doing this for years. And for Eileen Fisher, it's called Renew. And it's $5 for any item you bring back. And they have never, they've taken back over 1 million items as a brand, right? From their customers' closets to put back into use. It's exceptional. I think it's not well understood how much they've done in this space. And then if you go to the opposite end of a spectrum, REI is very much about the specific item and the price that item is worth in the marketplace right now, given the condition. Mm-hmm. What we are finding for new partnerships that we're working with is what works best is somewhere in the middle, where you've got transparency that it's a Lululemon top and it's going to be worth $25, right? Mm-hmm. Tops, $25. And it either fits the program or doesn't. Mm-hmm. So if it looks like rags, it's really not part of the program. And the brands or retailers will denote this in the marketing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they're not looking, they're looking for an item to go to the next owner. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for items to be recycled. Right. And it's part of their commitment to a more circular economy. So they've got other paths and plans if you're bringing in items to recycle, but that's not this.
Yeah.
The opportunity is keeping these items in use. We produce twice as many items as we did 15 years ago, and we wear them half as long. So our closets have never been so filled with items that are well-made but never used.
Mm-hmm. That raises a question for me about sustainability. We've talked a little bit about the benefits financially for companies, and I think those are a little bit self-evident, right? You're getting your customers back in the store more frequently and with the gift card in their hands. That's a good deal.
Yep.
But for a lot of these companies, sustainability is at their core. So I have to imagine that there's incentive for them in that space. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like for them?
Yeah, and maybe a way to preface it. I mean, from the experience I had starting and leading the sustainability efforts across Walmart was an incredible experience for just called sustainability of retail, right? Seeing the big picture. I don't know anything close to as important as the circular economy for sustainability in retail. I haven't seen anything yet. And it's not a silver bullet, but the idea to keep items we've already made in use. So when you get a second and third use out of a Patagonia, you are often displacing two or three items that never get made. And as you do that, you know, we track the CO2 reduction in that experience for every item that transacts. And we've done those calculations with our brands, you know, that have incredible depth in understanding the footprint and how to calculate that. And we do that for all brands. And we are looking over the last 5 years, we are approaching 44,000 metric tons of CO2 displaced. And you go out another 5 years with this model continuing, we're talking about 44 million metric tons of CO2. And it's just the idea of we're spending all of this effort and resource and human capital in producing an item. Let's get as much life out of it as possible. And it can still be new to all of us who love great things and love shopping and love newness. Let's just not do it where we fill up our closets in our lives. Let's do it where we get to enjoy an item three times, hand it back, and get the next one.
I'm sitting here trying to think if there are any products that lend it, any type of products that lend themselves more or less to this business model. And I'm not finding one that doesn't.
It works and it's happening now across all categories. What we see what customers love, we've already talked about it here. Customers expect ease.
Yeah.
And to provide the ease where the brand stands behind the item, mm-hmm. just pre-certified, it's got a 250-point inspection right back to cars. So when the brand's going to stand behind the item, they make it super easy to bring it back and get a gift card on the spot. And they make it easy to buy because you just go to patagonia.com, right? You go to arc'teryx.com. Super easy. You've got to have a price point that's going to allow the used item, the secondhand item, to hold enough of its value. And so the brands that we look to partner with are the ones who tend to be premium products. So the Patagonias, the Arc'teryx, the Lululemons. We are not talking about fast fashion here. We're not talking about entry-level products. They tend to be items that were originally sold for $80, $90 and up. And luxury works incredibly well here. Premium athletic works. Outdoors, a fantastic space. But not every brand, given the brand itself and given the products, are a good fit for the model we do.
Do you think in the near future, that this could expand outside of fashion? So I'm sitting here at a dining room table and thinking, what if somebody wanted a new dining room table, or they wanted to upgrade the size of their TV? Are those kinds of products in our future?
Absolutely. And you know, if you want to upgrade your TV, we don't do this today, but Best Buy has done a very good job. Amazon's doing a nice job on electronics. There are a number of players doing a nice job on furniture. There will be more. It'll apply to every retail sector. And it's because it's customer-centric and it's enabled by technology and a changing cultural lens that used to say you only did used because you had to. And that's just not true for next-gen customers who say, not only are we comfortable with used, we actually prefer it. It's got less waste. It's a model where we don't overwhelm our lives with, you know, heavy and weighty things filling up our closets and homes, right? It's interesting in the shopping experience to find a treasure hunt with two-day shipping, right? So give me the fun of a treasure hunt, but don't make me wait for it. Give me a modern retail experience, but save me 40, 50% on the item and let me use it, enjoy it. Let me aspire to a brand and then hand the item back. My two kids now wear Patagonia. They've never worn Patagonia before. And we buy used Patagonia. They enjoy it. They love it. It's got a story behind it. Use it for the year. Then we walk back into the store. I hand it back. We get a gift card. We get the next one. And the Patagonia jacket for them in a year is less expensive than what we would have spent at a Costco or Target.
I'm also seeing how it's fitting in nicely with that idea now where people are more interested in being able to change things over quicker. So you've got, you know, what is it called? Furnish, that furniture rental, you know, so people are like, oh, I want to change up my stuff. I don't have to worry about, I've just made this big investment. And it's wasteful for me now to go buy a whole new one. Oh no. So now it's more of like, I bought this tent. I used it for a year and a half. I don't need a tent anymore. I'm going to return my tent to the place where I bought it. And then, as you say, I'm going to invest in a nice mountain bike or something.
Yes. And rental, we consider rental and reuse both part of what we consider re-commerce, right? The new models of moving these items more frequently. What we see for rental is that it works very well for certain use cases and occasions. But the far more relevant, larger space for retailers, and I consider most brands with direct consumer retailers as well, the more relevant space is actually resale. And it's more relevant because you can have a subscription for some things as a customer, but overall, you can only handle so many subscriptions. You can only handle so many rental contracts. And knowing that when you buy, if you're going to purchase a Tom Ford shirt, especially used or new, you know it's going to hold its value. So the difference between, you know, partaking in a high value item with a new accessible model, you know, when you're done with it in 3 months, 6 months, a year, whenever you're ready, you can hand it back and it's held most of its value. And so it really becomes a rental without any obligation and any contract.
Yeah. It puts the consumer more in charge of it.
Absolutely. And it allows the brand, you know, most luxury brands right now, their customers are experiencing that brand for the first time outside the brand. So people are getting their first pair of Celine glasses, but it's being sent in an Hermes box, right? An experience that would make either of those brands woozy, right? Like you work so hard to maintain a brand. This allows the brand to maintain their brand with a new younger customer while building loyalty with their core customers.
We are unfortunately out of time, but before we go, we have a final segment that we like to call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
All right, Chris, I'll let you start.
How do you unwind after a busy work day?
Guitar.
Favorite repurchase?
Ooh, coffee mug off of eBay that I looked for years because the coffee doesn't leak. And I love it. I travel everywhere with it.
Oh, it's a travel mug.
Travel mug.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
These days at a startup, both. But I love the time in the morning where no one is awake yet. And just the peacefulness and the ability to get a lot of work done before the world wakes up.
Complete this sentence. I wish everyone would
be a little kinder to each other.
What was your first job?
Mowing lawns before I quickly realized that I could do a subscription for lawn mowing and then start to grow that into kind of a multi-tiered program for my neighborhood.
What was the last thing you did for the first time?
Boy, I'm just coming off a 3-day white water trip. The first time I've made it through a class 5 rapid without flipping.
Nice. Chris, you get the last one.
What makes you laugh?
Gosh, so many things. Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now.
So funny.
Totally.
Unbelievable. So well written.
Agree.
Well, Andy, if someone wants to learn more about Trove, where should they go?
Trove.co. And you will not find anything for sale on Trove.co because we believe in brands. But you will find the brands that we work with and why they choose to work with us.
Andy, thank you so much for spending these 25 minutes with us. We really appreciate it.
Fantastic. Thank you both.
Thank you, Chris, for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you all, listeners, for being here for another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.